It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 4th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This is going to sound like the beginning of a bad joke, but it's a true story. I was in the city of Austin, Texas recently, riding in an Uber car with a driver whose other job was working at Dell. I asked the woman behind the wheel what she thought about the big boss at her day job, Michael Dell, and whether he could lead the tech company into the non-PC future after winning the battle to take Dell private. Short answer, yes. Longer answer, let's get one from Marketplace's Dan Weissman.
One area where Dell wants to grow, data services, helping corporate clients manage the cloud. James Kelleher, an analyst with Argus Research, says there are pitfalls to a cloud strategy.
Number one, it's not enough to announce that you're a cloud company, but even more important.
As companies like IBM and Hewlett-Packard have found out, you've got competitors, including Google and Amazon, that are already providing easy, comprehensive solutions. Meanwhile, Dell can finance its transition by selling more computers. Tablets have eaten into traditional computer sales, but Dells are strong for now. Matt Eastwood is an analyst with the tech consultancy IDC.
And that's really the million-dollar question here for every technology company. It's how quickly will the traditional profit pool begin to dry up, and how quickly will those new profit pools develop and emerge?
As a private company, Dell won't have to worry about the stock market freaking out if it doesn't show results every quarter. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
Today is a big day for voting, and in many places, votes will be cast using electronic voting machines, which is why some people in North Carolina are worried. According to the Greensboro News and Record newspaper, polling machines in the state's Democratic-leaning Guilford County were casting votes for Republican candidates despite their opponents being selected. This is the plot of at least one TV series episode and the topic of many a conspiracy. So should we be concerned? Dan Wallach is a professor of computer science at Rice University. He says no conspiracy here, just outdated technology.
If I was going to hack it, I'd do it in a way that it wouldn't be trivially observable. So that suggests that the problems that we're seeing are not the result of tampering as much as just bad equipment operated badly.
Wallach says most voting machines were purchased after the Florida recount following the presidential election back in 2000. User interfaces are a whole lot better these days. So where does this leave us? Wallach says it could go either way.
It's possible that the future of the machinery of our democracy is the past, that we might see many places going to hand-marked paper ballots, perhaps machine-scanned, and we might see other newer technologies.
Whomever you're voting for today, you should double-check your work, and if your machine provides it, as many do, get a receipt. There are two things that stand in the way of Apple Pay and services like it becoming the way we do mobile payments. The first is that swiping your phone in front of a scanner isn't all that different from swiping a credit card. But even if you are amazed at the prospect of not spending 3 to 5 seconds pulling your wallet out, there's the second problem. If you want to ditch the wallet altogether, there's a lot of setup involved. Lisa Sellen Davis just tried this for a week. She wrote about it for Quartz. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You did this for a week?
I did.
Give me the top line. How'd it go?
It was more difficult than I thought because I think the technology isn't there all the way yet.
Okay, so wait, let me ask you. When you say technology, are you talking about the device in your hands or the device on the merchant's counter?
Both. So, you know, I have an iPhone. It works. It can download those apps. Although some of it is that the vendors don't always have the technology to work with the apps.
How did you set everything up? Are these apps relatively easy to use when they do work?
Yep, they're relatively easy to use. They vary in terms of how much data entry you have to do. So some of them you can simply photograph your debit cards or credit cards. Others you enter in the numbers. For me, that was a deterrent to have to do that over and over for different apps. But after that, it's quite easy.
How many apps did you put on your phone for this particular week?
I think I put 6. I downloaded more, but I got tired of the data entry. And my phone came with some. So Passbook, which is on the iPhone, comes with a variety of apps with it for Macy's and Starbucks and a bunch of other chain stores.
How did your behavior change during this week?
I spent a lot less money. It was fantastic. I highly recommend this to compulsive shoppers.
Where does this all leave you?
Well, I think that there are some problems with it. Because fewer vendors than I needed accepted these digital payments, it required me to stay within this circumscribed set of businesses. So it kept more money in the world of retail giants.
Oh, but for them, that's great news, isn't it?
It's more good news for them. But in terms of supporting a more diversified economy, local businesses, I think that this gets in the way.
Lisa Sellin-Davis writes for the online publication Quartz. Lisa, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And before we go, just in case your week was starting to look too productive, the Internet Archive just released 900 more classic arcade game emulators, including games for Sega Genesis and the Mega Duck WG-109, whatever that is. If you need me, I'll be syncing battleships with a Sega Game Gear. We posted a helpful link at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.